Session Number 1747, Reel 54.
You're describing the journey back to your unit in the area of Trieste.
Yes, we were taken off the Lida Venice on a landing craft tank, LCT, with our luggage, and had quite a job having reached Mestre, I think it is, where the land side of Venice lies.
Yes.
We had a job to find our truck, and then we had a stifling hot drive back to our unit, arriving 3 p.m. in the same desolate hillside spot in which I had left them on the borders of Italy and Yugoslavia. Various letters awaiting from home, including one from Oxford University, to whom I had thought of applying for a place, changed tack after the war. Letters from friends. Next day, review education in the battery. There was not much to be done in this hillside spot. I wrote off to Balliol College, Oxford, for admission. Also applied for entry forms for the administrative civil service and for the foreign service. Began reading Stern's Sentimental Journey and helped Horn evolve a chess scheme as part of the education effort. Later on in June 19th, there's something about going to our new area, but I'm not sure what new area it was. To do a reconnaissance. Oh yes, I find billets for all the men. Nobody would be in tents. Next day, 20th June, last day in this awful place, too hot to do anything. And I set up and do some high jumping on my own just for fun. I love jumping. Read newspapers and periodicals. We moved the next day, 21st of June. Noontide occupation of our billets, etc. Read some French, set up a decent mess with Jay to where his dance band practices, wasted on me. Troop commander, now Rudolf Horn, acting as battery captain, cleaning operations. I've put something which must have happened regularly, but I've mentioned for the first time, Mepocrine Parade. This would be the beginning of the mosquito season, and we had to take, as we had had to in the previous year, a yellow tablet once a day to keep malaria at bay.
Did you have any cases of malaria?
No, we didn't, which is just as well, because it was regarded as a self-inflicted wound.
Apart from the mosquitoes, were there any other hazards to health in Istria?
No, it was very healthy compared with places further south, and certainly compared with Egypt the previous 12 months before this. The thing about the mosquitoes was that although you were guarded against their bite, malaria, you couldn't be guarded against their nuisance except by nets. So you had the mosquito net over your bed in the hot weather, at any rate. Everybody was talking at this time. There was a great amount of lecturing going on. 23rd Saturday, there was a talk to those who wanted to listen to it by the CO on army policy. And the theme of this was that we should have a good time now the war was over, but with emphasis on education. I said, and I didn't like him much, but I paid tribute. I said, this is a good talk, although he's a frightful egotist. And immediately I get down to education plans within the battery. Now we are settled in billets. We can start doing a job on this. Sunday the 24th, I worked on a questionnaire which I would circulate a copy to every member of the battery, which would be about, 150 or 150 plus men, to find out what they actually wanted to do for preference by way of education to prepare them for civilian life or recreational stuff.
Do you remember what the results of the survey?
Indeed I do. They're very interesting. Again, I worked at it in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. It looked like being, as I noted, a full-time job in the battery. Meanwhile, in the evening, I received civil service application forms very quickly, but in the evening, went to a superb open-air theatre devised by our divisional engineers at Gradisca, with the setting making use of a summer dried-out riverbed, one of the tributaries of the Po, I think. But this was quite remarkable, because the division had the initiative to go to Milan and bring out from Milan the entire La Scala opera, the lot, to come and live in our area for 2 or 3 weeks and perform in this open-air theatre. And it was unique. I mean, it's never happened before or since, the open-air summer riverbank setting with La Scala performing well-known operas. It was quite something, it really was.
Was it well supported by the division?
Indeed it was. It's hugely popular. That first one particularly was it so... I mean, La Bohème is so popular anyway. I noted that rain delayed the third act, but not badly. Return in moonlight to our village with warm breeze coming off the sea. This really was bliss. I mean, the setting, the weather, the leisure, the amount of occupation, the amount of exercise, etc., were all perfection. I should remember always the summer of 1945 as being a relaxed, totally limbo time when the world stood still, apart from trying to plan for the future, but there's nothing which you could do about that.
But what about developments in the Far East? Because that surely was still
concern. You're quite right. I mean, that was still there as a vague prospect.
Yes.
But the longer time went on, the more distant the prospect became, in a way. Mm. Particularly since we were hearing by this time of plans for releasing students early. I haven't said this in here, but I know it was so. They called Class B release for badly needed personnel at home, and badly needed personnel included all kinds of essential workers, but it also happened we had a very far-sighted governments in those days. I mean, they could see, and they were right to see, that if students were kept in the army, there'd be no graduates forthcoming to do professional and other jobs. And so students were made...
a priority for release.
I mean, teacher students and university students as a whole became part of the Class B release system. And I spent the whole morning, 25th of June, filling in forms for questionnaires. In other words, I interviewed every man in the battery, and I noted on the back of their application form for educational training what I had agreed with them as being their three priorities for what they wanted. And I did a reasonably neat job on this. I felt almost ill with the amount of work I put in. Then I went to the stadium in Trieste to practice high and long jumps. But the Coldstream Guards were not much better than I was. We were all very stale at things like athletics after the war. I mean, I remember our regiment fielding a football team and challenging the local village to a game of soccer. And they beat us 6-0, much to their joy.
What was it that the soldiers wanted? What were their priorities for education?
Oh, we laid on all sorts of things. Pig keeping, bricklaying, plumbing, the artificer jobs to do with the building trades as a whole. What we had to do was to find out who was capable of doing some teaching. And there were people we had in our regiment, people who were knowledgeable about accounting, to some extent about law, though I'm sure they were not fully qualified barristers or solicitors, otherwise they wouldn't have been in a general gunner regiment. We had people like my gun sergeant, Ike Stamper, who had been president of the union at Nottingham, who was had a first in English at this sort of thing. So you had the ability to do some general education, literature, etc., or practical stuff. I can't remember the whole range of subjects, but it was quite considerable.
What was the soldiers' interest there? Were they interested primarily in vocational subjects, yes, or in academic?
Yes. I mean, they could do more than one, of course, and there was a tendency to make your first preference, you know, the bricklaying or whatever, and your second preference would be something recreational. There was also knowledge at this time that there would be vocational training courses back home when people were released to train them quickly for trades, to train within 6 months for something which would have taken a 7 years apprenticeship before the war. Knowledge of this made people, stimulated people to want to do this or that after their demobilisation. And to prepare for it through these, whatever we could provide within the regiment. Yes, there was a lot of keenness. I mean, these were mostly people under the age of 30. Mostly their lives had been absolutely, I mean, to put it crudely, buggered up by the war. And quite a lot of them. You see, they'd been called up at 18, 19. They hadn't got any career properly going. So a lot of people, a great many people, including the officers, were looking forward to a start in life. Not continuation, but a start. I put my own name down outside the regimental questionnaire for Alpine Sports. Although I think even that was probably provided for. If we could arrange sport, we would do so, visits to skiing and so on. And certainly we arranged art, including models. Jack and I went round and recruited two or three models. We used to, their reward was not money, because money was not particularly worthwhile. There was nothing they could buy. The Italians were pretty well fed in the north. There was not much to buy, but we were able to offer these girls something they appreciated much more. There being no petrol around and very little public transport, we were able to offer them twice a week trip to the sea where they could swim. And Jack and I and one or two others accompanied them, and they were good swimmers, we were not. We had a dance in the battery area. Jack and I go to fetch girls from the next village, but their hideous mothers accompany us. They never let their daughters out of their sight.
Did any of your soldiers form permanent liaisons with local girls?
Oh, yes. I don't know whether ours did particularly, but I knew plenty who did in nearby units. I mean, just the odd subaltern. I would say, you know, when is your demand? Well, I'm only going home, I'll leave, I'm coming back here then. Marrying father-in-law's finding me a place in, you know, his factory or whatever in Italy. Quite a lot, I don't know how many percentage-wise, it must have been minimal, but quite a lot did want to stay. It was very, very attractive. Mm. And the whole setting was so much more congenial than what we knew England was like, even, you know, despite shortages. The climate is superlative in that part of Italy, and the setting, you know, with the distant Alps and the sea on the other side. It's quite unlike southern Italy in terms of prosperity. I mean, this breakaway movement, you know, setting up the north, etc., you can see the incentives for this.
The Lombard movement.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. I've forgotten its name, that's right. I didn't realize, I'd forgotten that. I found that Ike Stamper, my sergeant from the Students' Union at Nottingham, was plus somebody else also putting in for the administrative class civil service exams. I was going around giving lectures on current affairs and indeed on what we were laying on educationally. I wrote home and found from home that my brother was on disembarkation leave.
Is this your brother who was the signaller?
He's the one who was the signaller, yes, in Western Europe, so he'd left home a year after me and got home a year earlier. We had a sports competition in the Trieste Stadium and the regiment comes last. I don't do too well in the jumps, but not disgracefully, given that we're against the guards. Then we're coming into July, 1st July already. Return to the mess and prepare a terrific education program for next week. I'm told on the grapevine that my battery 254 has made the only decent educational organization provision. That was my questionnaires that I'd spent all this time on. We're likely to move to the Gradisca area. Home leave will be one officer per week. That would make me going home in about November, unless I have to go to Japan. The war is going well out there. I retired to my quarters and put in about 3 hours on Hobbes and the Civil War. I was trying to prepare myself for possible exams for voyage to Oxford. And next day got the final bugs sorted out and my great education scheme begins. Woodwork and plumbing classes. Expect complete chaos, but it doesn't happen.
Who was doing the teaching? Was it mainly men from within the regiment?
Yes.
Did you get any outsiders coming in?
No, we didn't. I don't think we were organised to do that. Although, when you say that, it leads me to question. I mean, for example, when we laid on these art classes, it's quite feasible that we did recruit at small pay some local art instructor, because I don't think we had anybody qualified.
But it sounds as though you were mainly educating each other.
Yes.
Within the regiment.
We were drawing on resources which had not been used for war purposes, which could be for civilian life. I conducted a debate on the nationalisation of industry. An election was now pending. The colonel came across to ask me how the debate went. Oh, 5th of July, polling day today, the first for 10 years. My wretched ballot form isn't here yet. We all voted by post.
How was that organised? Who actually was responsible for handing out ballot papers and collecting them?
It all came down through the usual channels, you know.
Chain of command.
Yes, that's right. And went back up, I think, in boxes. I had a letter from Balliol College asking for references on my career at Nottingham University. I replied at once, giving them my prof's name. Lot of reading Sabine's Political Theory, Dalton Economics, etc., etc. Dealt with changes of subjects that people were deciding they wanted for their education courses. Handed in my own civil service administrative class application form. I went down to the sea with Jack Davidson at Duino and spent a divine 2 hours on rocks over the totally transparent Mediterranean and developed a backstroke of my own for the first time. Tired but tanned. messing about, going with friends to Trieste, to clubs, hotels, and member of the Trieste Yacht Club. Grado on leave, lovely seaside resort, just like the Lido at Venice. Played tennis for an hour there. Verbena, dancing, boring, but good food, etc. This is all lotus eating.
How long did that go on till?
Well, this was going on, this is early July. We're talking about swim Sunday, 13th, best day yet for bathing. Saturday the 14th, come back, back to the unit from this leave, take over all education stuff. What I'm trying to find out, and can't see the date of, but it doesn't matter, was going into the mess and having a drink a few minutes earlier. The mess telephone rang, and my old love-hate contact, Colonel Sinclair, was on the phone, and he asked for me. I said, yes, it's me speaking. And he said, what are you doing in the mess so early? So I said, well, everybody else is here. And I realised after a moment that he was only teasing. But he said, I've rung you to tell you I'm giving you a third pip. And I want you to take charge of regimental education. It happened at some point here. And because yours were the, you know, easily the best concepts of how to organise education, so you shall do it. So I did. And there it is. CO, 16th of July, CO rings at lunchtime to say time to take Mead's place as regimental education officer and be a captain, though a captain without pay, unpaid acting captain. So this carries on. We debated all sorts of things. It was quite stimulating, really. There was a debate on the use we ought to be making at home of German prisoner of war labour, presumably whether to be treated as slave labour or whether to be paid labour or what. Difficult to know, given the background, that we would have trade unions active on behalf of British workers, and you could hardly have trade unions representing German prisoners of war. So do you employ cheap labour, or do you pay the rate for the job? It's the same age-old debate about the use of prisoner labour in the prisons, but this was much bigger, because there were a great many more POWs.
Well, there was the use of them in France, for example, as a form of reparations in clearing war damage.
But what did the unions think?
Well, in France, of course, there are a lot more areas of devastation that need
yes,
to be tidied
up. Yes, you mean there's more than
up.
The unions could cope with anyway.
Exactly,
yes. I see. Yeah. Yes, well, that's fair enough.
And things like clearing minefields are not very popular for trade union members.
Not popular, no. Not popular. Afternoon to Trieste on the 19th of July. Now that's an interesting one. Tea at the club and find that in Trieste there is a general strike and people are hungry. It's all very distressing.
This is in the city?
Yes.
Because you were outside the city, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, we
your
were
location.
Not in the city. We
yes.
were in a smaller place. Gradiska, I think it was called. 20th July inspection by 13 Corps Commander General Sir John Harding. To RHQ, go over files with the chap who's going home on leave, and I've got to take over his stuff. The Colonel by now was quite fond of me, and he offered to teach me riding on a captured German horse. He being an old gunner, you know, when it was horse-drawn. Sorry.
I was going to say, how did you react to that suggestion?
Well, I reacted with the thought that I was terrified of horses, but that I was even more anxious that I should not be in the colonel's bad books. And I went on a huge and awkward captured German horse, which promptly walked under a tree. I came off. That, well, within a few minutes, and that was the end of my riding career. I didn't want anything more to do with horses. I never liked the brutes anyway. This was enough.
Can you say why you think the colonel had changed his view of you and was now anxious?
I think he, once the tension of war had gone, people relaxed. I think he much appreciated what I'd done on the education front, which would be a feather in his cap, apart from anything else. And I think that he probably had something of a sort of lingering bad conscience about having shoved me out of RHQ in order to make way for regulars. I think that he thought he'd done wrong, but I think he thought perhaps I'd had a bit of a raw deal, having been, you know, had the war gone on much longer and the regular thing not having reared its head. I mean, I was in line to be adjutant and all that. I don't know. But anyway, he was a stiff, unbending man, but he was trying to be friendly, and I took it in good part. All this lotus eating cinemas in Trieste and so on and so on. And there was a documentary in a Trieste cinema, I've noted, about war guilty nations. And I was more interested in watching the audience because they'd been on both sides.
How did they react?
I haven't noted. I suppose it was difficult to tell. I then saw a film in the same place of the London victory celebrations, which would have happened on the 8th, and this was now the 22nd, and this made me and others with me feel quite homesick, because, you know, we hadn't been part of any of this. All the crowds in the Mall and all that. Oh, gosh. My riot squad on the 23rd is called out to Monfalcone, which is a fairly industrial place on the coast or near the coast, near Trieste, because women were demonstrating in the shops about shortage of food.
I didn't know you even had a riot squad. When had you formed it?
I imagine that we had to. It hadn't been formed. I think it must have been an ad hoc. I think what it really means is that I had to set up a riot squad to go and help the AMGOT, the civilian government. Because I suppose the Italian civil government was in no state to cope with anything, partly because it had been inactive, but partly because of the area we were in, which was disputed territory.
What actually happened at Monfalcone when you arrived?
I don't know. I haven't got any notes of it at all. So obviously nothing serious happened. I suppose the presence of troops around was enough to help calm things. More seaside, more 24th Guards Brigade sports. I come level second in the high jump. Overall, the regiment is a good last as usual. Gambling horse race game in the mess. More leave offered to me to go with Major Ken Cowan. Return from yachting in the afternoon to find that Labour are in power by a clear 200 seats. Big changes will be ahead. Lone walk to reflect on things. Back to hear that an ultimatum has been sent to Japan by Truman, Churchill and Chiang Kai-shek. Yes, it's getting on, isn't it? Education conference at RHQ. Another wretched conference. Delays leave, but Cowan and I get away to Grado. Enjoyable time there, but just, I mean, nothing worth military mention, just holidaying.
How was the news of the Labour victory received in the regiment?
I would think it was fairly evenly divided between those of us who, in effect, though not literally, but in effect, had been batting for Labour for 3 months or more.